Let us pray. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come this morning. Speak to us, we pray, through your word. In Jesus' name, Amen. The miracle healing of the man born blind in John chapter 9 is the sixth miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Amazingly, the man returned and was able to see with his eyes for the first time in his life. The miracle event once again confirmed the divine identity of our Lord Jesus. He is Christ and the divine Son of God. Study chapter 9 carefully and you will realize that there are a lot more packed into the chapter. But due to time, I will focus my sharing this morning on the issue of spiritual blindness. Firstly, we want to look at the truth about spiritual blindness. As the story unfolds in chapter 9, there are three groups of people who witnessed with their own eyes what had happened that day. That the man was blind from birth, but now he sees. The first group are the neighbors, from verses 8 to 13. The neighbors and those who had seen him said, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is he." And others said, "No, but he is like him." And the blind man said, "I am the man." And so they said to him, and listen to this, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And so I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." And they brought to Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. The neighbors wanted to know where to find Jesus, not because they wanted to seek healing for themselves, nor were they wanting to believe in Jesus, but because they were upset that Jesus had healed the man on Sabbath, verse 14. And since they did not know where Jesus went, they brought the man to the Pharisees. "Then how were your eyes opened?" Verse 10. Clearly, the neighbors knew that the man born blind was healed of his birth defects and now could see. Despite of what they have witnessed for themselves, they were unwilling to believe that Jesus is the Christ who healed the man. The second group are the Jews and the Pharisees, from verses 14 to 34. They were found arguing among themselves on how the man had received his sight. And we were told in verse 18, the Jews did not believe that he had been blind from birth and had received his sight. They did not believe, not because they doubted that the man could see, but because they were offended by our Lord's teaching in chapter 8. And as a result, they refused to believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. And so, in verse 18, they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind?" And listen to this, "How then does he now see?" The Pharisees were not really interested in whether the man was really blind from birth. Instead, they were hoping to solicit a bad testimony from the parents to discredit Jesus. The Pharisees knew that the man had been blind from birth, and now he sees. However, their hearts were hardened because they were blinded with their personal ideology. The third group are the parents of the blind man. When pressured and questioned by the Pharisees, from verses 20 to 23, they responded, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but now he sees. We do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, and he will speak for himself. In verse 22, we were told that his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess that Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. So instead of defending the son, they said he's of age, ask him. They were pushing the responsibility to the man. Sadly, the parents were not willing to confess that Jesus had healed their son because the membership with the synagogue was far more important to them. The response of the three groups of people could well reflect our attitude towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And they could also reflect the beliefs of those who have yet to believe in Jesus. The three groups have witnessed firsthand the miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how often do you see the sight of a blind person fully restored? Despite of what they have encountered that day, they would not believe and would not acknowledge that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And we may wonder why. How could someone possibly witness such an incredible miracle and yet not believe in the divine identity of Jesus Christ? The reason St. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Have we come across people who have personally witnessed the miracle and power of Christ and yet refuse to believe that Jesus is Christ? Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Jesus was referring to those who were spiritually blind and would not believe. What about you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? My friends, in the course of our ministry, my wife Ling and I have come across many who have experienced the power of Jesus, but they have hardened their hearts and would not believe. We have not given up praying for these people, and I hope you too will not give up. So let's continue to pray that they will be free from spiritual blindness and to receive the light of life. Secondly, we want to look at the way to overcome spiritual blindness. You will remember from last week's sermon in chapter 8, Jesus said in verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. And once again in chapter 9, Jesus said in verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." While Jesus had addressed the Pharisees in chapter 8, in chapter 9, he was addressing his disciples. And although the message was for two different groups of people, they were the same to remind the readers that our Lord Jesus had come to be about the Father's business, to be the light of the world, and to bring salvation to all mankind. Because of the way the story in chapter 9 was constructed, I want to suggest to you the intention of the author was to illustrate in a practical way, through the healing of the man born blind, how Jesus, the light of the world, came to reach out to mankind by illumining his light into our sin-filled, darkened world. The author John started chapter 9 with, as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, verse 1. And you need to know that Jesus had just left the temple, and a little while ago, the Jews had wanted to stone him to death because they were offended by what Jesus had said at the end of chapter 8. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So the Jews and the Pharisees pick up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. John chapter 8, verses 58 to 59. As he went out of the temple, Jesus saw the man born blind, and the man was begging outside the temple. There could be tens, hundreds, or even thousands of people outside the temple that day, but somehow the blind man caught the attention of Jesus. And you need to know that here the man born blind symbolizes humanity, who are spiritually blind from birth because of sin. And the author wants us to know that it was for that reason that Jesus came into our world to rescue the spiritually blind and to lead them to the light of life. Instead of hiding or running for his life, Jesus was more concerned about the salvation of the blind man. In the same way, our Lord Jesus is driven by his compassion for those who are living in spiritual darkness. When the disciples saw that our Lord was giving his attention to the blind man, they asked a question about his blindness. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 2. And in verse 3, Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus said that the man's blindness was not caused by some specific sin on the part of the man or his parents. His disciples had raised the question because the Jews in those days had believed that all birth defects and sickness are the direct results of sins. Jesus explained that this is not the case. Birth defects of the man was for the purpose of God's miraculous work, so that God's glory may be displayed through him. As we look at the miracle healing in the early church and even today, we need to understand that God's miracle is for the purpose of the salvation of mankind. Remember, in John 20, John said, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. John 20, verses 30 to 31. While the disciples were concerned about the theology of sin, our Lord was more concerned about the salvation of mankind. And he said in verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For night is coming where no one can work. Instead of focusing his answer on the theology of sin, Jesus emphasized on the urgency of time, that they are to seek out those who are spiritually blind. Notice the pronouns that our Lord used in the sentence. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me. Jesus came into our world for one reason, to be about the Father's business, to bring salvation to mankind. And he was very clear here in verse 4 that we, his disciples, are to be part of this very important mission work that he has called us, to lead people to the light. Because only Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is able to give salvation to mankind. We need to pause and ask ourselves a very important question in this season of our church life, and as we seek to build a deeper life in Christ. On the level of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most urgent, how will we rank ourselves in terms of our urgency to proclaim the gospel to those who are still living in darkness? They could be our neighbors, our workers, our loved ones, our friends, and even strangers whom we meet in the street. My friends, we are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, not because evangelism and missions are good ideas to keep the church busy and occupied. Rather, we are called to be witnesses because of the Father's love for mankind. John tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." For God so loved the world. Because of the Father's love, Jesus has commanded the church to continue with the works of evangelism and missions before he ascended into heaven. Matthew 28:18-20, Mark 16:15-16, and Acts 1:8. As a testimony to all nations before Christ's return at his second coming, Matthew 24:14. Friends, have we been faithful in discharging our duty as witnesses for Jesus Christ? The word witness from Acts 1:8 is the legal term in Greek. It refers to someone or a person who was physically present to see with his own eyes something that had taken place before him. And he is to testify before the court or in the presence of other people to relate his account of what had taken place. In our case, as witnesses, we are responsible for testifying that Jesus is the Christ. St. Paul reminds us, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" Romans 10:13-14. So unless we are willing to step out of our comfort zone to be witnesses, to testify for Jesus Christ, how could anyone hear and discover the light of life and to discover the way to overcome spiritual blindness? What do we need to do to be faithful witnesses for Christ? I'm sure, like the man born blind, we have one at one point or another have a personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you were involved in praying for someone who was sick and was miraculously healed. I remember once a church member had asked me to pray for her brother who had suffered a severe brain hemorrhage. Honestly, when the family explained to me his condition, I thought I was going to the hospital to give the man his last rites. When I arrived in the man's room in the ICU, he had all these tubes and wires connected to his body. And after I had anointed his forehead with oil, and just as I was starting to pray for him, he suddenly sat up on his bed. His family members were shocked, and I was even more shocked. What have I done? Doctors were immediately called to check on the man. They examined him and found nothing wrong. And after the doctors left, I took the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And he was eventually discharged from the hospital a few days later. My friends, this is the work of God to bring divine healing to mankind. Do you believe? If you have not realized, my friends, I have in the last 30 seconds testified before you the great healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you also realize that this is all our Lord Jesus requires of us? To be his witnesses, to testify before others of our own personal encounter and experiences with Jesus Christ. Our encounter may also be how God guided us to overcome obstacles at work or a relationship issue, or it may be an answered prayer. Friends, it is not about the wow factor of our story, but it is about how willing we are to make Christ known so that people can know Christ and to exercise their faith to believe in Jesus. When the blind man was asked to go to the pool to wash, obviously he was still blind in his sight. And I want to suggest to you that what led him to go to wash in the pool was not the mud on his eyes, but rather because of his simple faith in Jesus. He believed in Jesus, and we were told in verse 7, the man went, washed, and came back seeing. Later in verse 35, when Jesus found the blind man, Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." The man answered without hesitation, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped Jesus. Verses 35 to 38. How could someone believe unless you and I are willing to be witnesses for Christ? Friends, there is no doubt that the only way to overcome spiritual blindness is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to leave you with two questions to ponder as I bring my sharing to a close. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And are you making good use of your time on earth to be witnesses for Christ? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the great healer of our body and our soul. Help us this day with our unbelief and enable us right now with the Holy Spirit that we may become faithful witnesses to usher those who are living in darkness into your kingdom of light. In Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Amen.